You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 317.
And this is the part where I'm supposed to say something.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
And hello to special guest, the mayor of Chickentown is here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin and I recently returned from a trip, which we'll tell you about later.
We went to Ohio, the state of Ohio. So, yeah, we'll have to share our Ohio antics with you. We'll get into that in a minute. Let's start with you, Cornflake. What's going on this week? National Whatever Day.
We need to clear our calendars. Hopefully you're not too busy on June 8th. June 8th is Ghostbusting Day.
Ooh.
I don't believe there's going to be any sort of siege of ghosts to have to bust. It is Ghostbuster Day, or Ghostbusting Day.
Yeah.
Because it will be the anniversary of the movie having come out in 1984.
Yes.
On June 8th. The interesting thing about this particular National Whatever Day is that this movie came out in the 80s and nobody made it a National Whatever Day until like a couple of years ago. Mm. So what the heck were we doing?
Well, the new movie was about 2 years ago, right? So they launched the day timed with the Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy movie?
Yeah.
Perhaps, which I liked.
But in the meantime, we've got some ghostbusting to do on June 8th.
So do you have plans to bust ghosts?
I was thinking about just putting a little time aside for it. What are you thinking?
I've encountered some ghostbusters in my time, like people that
believe that they are
think that they're investigating and discovering ghosts. Those are some characters.
Yeah, I've only heard tell of such people, and I don't think I've actually talked to any.
You've never
such
met
people.
Like a ghost investigator?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're out there. I've run into them at conventions and whatnot.
I've run into the Ghostbusters vehicle at conventions.
Yeah, you've got the Ghostbuster costumers that dress up like the movie characters.
Mm-hmm. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Does anybody dress up like Filmation Ghostbusters?
Oh, that would be interesting.
Somebody must be doing that somewhere, but I don't think I've ever seen it. You need like a guy in a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
And you need a guy in a Larry Storch suit.
More importantly, even if somebody did that cosplay, would we recognize it as the Filmation Ghostbusters?
I'm pretty sure Kevin would.
I would. Yeah. Nobody else would.
Yes, we would. And by we mean Kevin.
Well, maybe we need to do that then. I could get in the gorilla suit.
Sure. But yeah, I've walked up to the booths at conventions where there are these ghost investigation people. Yeah, they start showing you their photos of, look at that, there's an orb. See that in this picture? We found an orb. They're way into orbs, which is any fuzzy thing in a photo.
Yeah.
That's got to be a ghost right there.
It's not orb busting day, it's ghost busting day.
I've got my little thing here that detects electronic activity in the air. I've got my temperature readout, which detects that this end of the room is half a degree colder than that end of the room. We heard a noise a few minutes ago. I'm not sure what it was. So this place is full of ghosts.
Yeah, I've certainly flipped past some of those shows on TV and
The TV shows.
Yeah, never last more than a couple of seconds.
Completely ridiculous. Some of the people that you'll just meet in the local groups that do it, at least they're sincere.
Right.
I don't think they're actually finding any ghosts based on the complete lack of evidence. But the TV shows, that's pure showbiz nonsense.
Yeah.
Those are people just cooking up a TV show, doing whatever they need to do.
Right.
But come on, unless you're, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Leslie Jones, I don't think you're really finding any ghosts.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate finding any ghosts on June 8th?
To be honest, I don't, so yeah. I have a backup plan.
Okay.
What else
could we find?
Oh, I'm not going to find anything. Okay. In the event that there are no ghosts to bust, I will not be ghost busting. I will be dust busting instead. I have my dust buster ready.
That's a fantastic idea.
If I can't ghost bust, I'm going to dust bust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
that you're actually going to accomplish something.
Right.
Which is a radical departure from typical ghost busting operations.
Because I ain't afraid of no cobwebs. Ghosts or dusts, whichever comes first.
Yeah, whatever you got. I'm guessing you have a lot more dust than ghosts. there's evidence that dust really exists. Scientific evidence. Oh, that's what we go by around here.
My house is a prime example.
As cranky skeptics say, Cornflake, as we mentioned, yeah, we just got back from Ohio. Now, I'm predicting the answer to this question is yes, because every time I ask you if you've been somewhere, the answer is always yes. Cornflake, have you been to Ohio?
Absolutely.
Oh, I know it.
It's the first place I ever went off a high dive.
Oh,
wow. The triple Lindy? Like Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah. Something like that. I will never forget my toes at the edge of that and looking back and seeing the line behind me and realizing I really had to jump. Mm. And that's all I remember from being in Ohio. We were there an entire week.
You're one, and this was 4 weeks ago, we should say. So you would think that you'd remember something else, but no, just the high dive.
I must have hit the water that hard. It erased all my other memories.
Well, I had never been to Ohio before.
We were going to Ohio because it was my college reunion.
So you'd been to Ohio before.
I spent at least 4 years in Ohio.
Yes.
And I've been back a couple times since then. But I wanted to show Kevin around my college campus and show him the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, which I'd been to a couple times, but it's always there's always new stuff there, so it's a cool place to visit. And so that was the first thing we did there, was we headed over to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We did it. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Cornflake.
Awesome.
Which, you know, we like to complain about it and break down the nominees every year here on the show.
We really get into it every year.
Well, I've finally been to the actual place.
You aired your grievances.
On the spot. Yes. That's awesome.
And I must say, I highly recommend people go check out for whatever issues we may have with those who have not been inducted yet, who should be. It's a fantastic museum.
All right. So for the uninitiated, what's it like?
They've got a rock.
And or roll. Yeah,
there's two sections. Well, it's like it's sort of giant pyramid shaped. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just started making our way through the whole place. We walked the whole thing. We saw everything. Not in detail. You could spend a week there because every exhibit, there's stuff to read. There's stuff to listen to. There's little computer screens to poke at, you know. I saw at least one chicken thing. In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah, well, right at the beginning, like the first exhibit we walked up to, there's the early influences section.
And the early influence of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was a chicken?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And I can say inspired all of rock and roll music, yeah. One of the early influence exhibits is about Louis Jordan. Favorite of mine. I got into Louis Jordan when I was a kid. A friend of mine had a Louis Jordan tape, and we would just drive around playing Louis Jordan music all the time. That's this early, you know, pre-rock and roll era kind of jump blues stuff. And one of his big songs was There Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know that song.
Which I love. And they have a Louis Jordan section in there. Louis Jordan's saxophone is on display there. Like, they've got real stuff from everybody in the history of rock has stuff in the museum. But they've got Louis Jordan's saxophone, and they have sheet music from There Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so as soon as you walk in, chickens. And that was it. That's about all we turned around and walked right out.
We've seen the chickens. Yeah. Now we go.
What more do you want?
How are we going to top that? But no, you wind through the whole place. There's a big room just of Elvis Presley stuff, of course. Mm-hmm. His army stuff. They had like the receipt that he signed when he received his rifle from the army is there.
Oh, wow.
So there's like autographed stuff of his in there. The sparkly gold suit that he wore on the 68 comeback TV special is there. Now, we always whine about the Monkees not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I did find one reference to the Monkees in one of the other exhibits, and they have a studio soundboard that was used by Jimi Hendrix. And in the little description about it, it mentions how Hendrix was touring with the made-for-TV band, The Monkees.
Wow.
Yes. So they are named in an actual exhibit. And actually running right now, I think, right? It opened right after we left. We just missed a special exhibit about the history of TV and rock music. And The Monkees apparently are going to be a pretty big part of that exhibit. Because in the gift shop, as we were leaving, they had a section for this upcoming exhibit, which had Monkees DVDs and Monkees t-shirts. Mm-hmm. So they're selling Monkees stuff at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now.
They're just teasing us.
But they're not going to let them in. Yeah, it's just crazy walking through all the early stuff. Carl Perkins stuff, his guitar, Roy Orbison's guitar, Roy Orbison glasses, you know, the dark glasses that Orbison always wears.
Those glasses.
Those are in there. The handwritten lyrics from Chuck Berry. Buddy Holly's jacket I kind of freaked out over, remember? Because they've got an album, like the first Crickets album, Buddy Holly and the Crickets. It's just there's the guy's on the cover and he's wearing this gray suit jacket. Mm-hmm. And then there's the jacket hanging up above it.
Wow.
Buddy Holly's jacket.
Buddy Holly is awesome.
That's good stuff. There's a section about radio, kind of little section off to the side, just about radio stations and radio DJs and stuff. And you found that little computer thing where you could select a city.
Right. And you could see like the prominent DJs throughout the decades from each city. So
of course, we pull up Boston. Yeah. We don't have time to examine every DJ from every city, but we hit Boston. Wow. And it just brings you a few of the highlights. Here's like the top five or six DJs from that city. But Dale Dorman is there.
Of course. Uncle Dale.
Yeah, we pulled up a little page of information on the computer about Dale Dorman. And then all the BCN guys. They've got Oedipus and Charles Lacuadera, Mark Parento.
Wow. I would have loved that.
Yeah, that was cool.
You could have spent hours on that.
What else popped out for me? Oh, the punk section. All the punk rock display has Ramon stuff, of course. There's Johnny's guitar. There's Joey's leather jacket. Marky's drumsticks are in there. There's the grunge stuff. And Kurt Cobain's guitar is hanging there. Everything from everybody. And then you get to that huge display area of like mannequins dressed up with all the stage costumes and wardrobe stuff. And there's Michael Jackson's glove.
Wow.
The sparkly glove is in its own little glass case rotating.
Yeah. They had some great David Bowie costumes.
All the Bowie stuff.
From Ziggy Stardust.
They've got Michael Jackson's Grammy. Thriller Album of the Year Grammy Award is sitting there. And that crazy, like, sparkly blue military suit thing that he wore to the Grammys that year is also there. There's a section just about artists from Ohio, since we're in Ohio, which has Devo stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Devo, that's on my list of why have they not inducted Devo yet. But there is a Devo, the yellow Devo suit and the red Energy Dome helmet. Mm-hmm. And there's a section just for the Midwest in general, which was cool. Because there's a bunch of other stuff, you know, from acts that you wouldn't see. A bunch of Liz Phair stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
Who went to your same school, I believe.
We just found that out.
We were out there to visit Oberlin, and that's where Liz Phair went. But they've got a pair of Liz Phair's boots on display and a set list from Liz. REO Speedwagon is in there. Again, there's another band that has not been inducted. I don't know if they ever will be. You know, if it were up to me.
Sure.
I would wave REO Speedwagon right in. But because they were from the Midwest, they've got Kevin Cronin's guitar from REO Speedwagon is in there.
Just induct them already.
Would you please let in REO Speedwagon? That's all I ask.
You're going to put up their stuff. I mean, come on. We could do better than letting REO Speedwagon into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They are kind of pressed for space in there. Like, they don't have room to display everything they have. I'm sure they must have a warehouse just full of stuff. And maybe
they must rotate stuff in.
Maybe they switch things up. Even some of the bands that have been inducted, they don't have stuff on display currently. They just don't have room for everybody's stuff. Like, I don't think I saw any Kiss stuff in there, which is weird because that's such a visual band.
Yeah.
You know? So then I was wondering if Kiss even gave them anything. I started imagining Gene Simmons just going, no, I'm not going to get any Kiss stuff. You can buy Kiss stuff.
Right.
Right.
Or I'm going to start my own museum.
Yeah, we're going to make our own Kiss museum.
The way I see it, they'll eventually let REO Speedwagon in because they'll get to the point where they just can't fight that feeling anymore.
I am already at that point. We got to a thing where they do kind of celebrate all the inductions and they list everybody who's been inducted. And then there's a little kiosk where you can enter your vote. Who do you want to see in the Hall of Fame who's not in yet? So we cast our votes.
Mm-hmm.
And you voted for...
I voted for Squeeze.
For Squeeze, right?
That's a
classic band.
And, you know, we'd seen them last year and I was just really impressed with them and kind of, you know, rediscovering some of their deeper cuts.
They're great, but I haven't heard them on anybody's short list for induction. I don't think they're really on the radar to get in anytime soon. But
Probably not.
I would not object to that, though. And even though we've mainly been campaigning for the Monkees all these years, I cast my vote for Air Supply.
Of course you did.
Officially, while I was there, like I typed it in, it comes up on the screen.
Everybody points and laughs.
Yes. I was immediately ejected. But I regret nothing. Then we get up to the section where they have all the new inductees. There's some nice displays of the people that just got in this year, which we never even listed on the show, I think, because we did our Hall of Fame show back in the fall when they announced the nominees. But the ones who really got in were Sister Rosetta Tharpe as an early influence, and Nina Simone, Moody Blues, Dire Straits, Bon Jovi, and The Cars.
I'm really glad Moody Blues got in.
That was a good one. And
the fact that The Cars got in also.
The Cars, they're certainly my favorite of those. So it was cool to be there this year while that display is up for the class of 2018 because we get to see all this car stuff. Because they might not have room to display all that car stuff a year from now.
Yeah, no, they had a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, that stuff might be hiding in a warehouse like Raiders of the Lost Ark by this time next year. But yeah, here's Rick Ocasek's guitars, and then Greg Hawk's keyboard is up there. The handwritten lyrics, there's a notebook with handwritten lyrics for Living on a Prayer.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah, somehow I found, like, seeing the handwritten lyrics, I felt like that meant the most to me somehow. Like, it just seems...
It's really special scene. Yeah. And you know, things are scratched out on it. You know, it's not, I'm going to sit down and make a nice copy for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's, here's John Bon Jovi scribbling in a notepad in 1985 or whatever.
Sometimes they're coffee stained or something else stained.
Who knows what that notebook, notebook has been through. But if they ever need any more handwritten lyrics, though... If they ever want to induct my band, mm-hmm. I have so many pages and pages of scribbled, horrifying Sponge Awareness lyrics that I could donate.
I will nominate you just to see that.
Thank you.
And then they'll eject me.
And I think the last thing we looked at as we were on the way out the door was there's a giant hot dog hanging in the outer lobby. Like a giant hot dog. There is a little sign we found explaining the hot dog, but it's from Phish. You know, Vermont hippie jam band Phish.
P-H-I-S-H.
Yeah. They donated the giant hot dog. And the hot dog first appeared in Boston, actually.
Oh.
Phish, the band, flew in the giant hot dog over the audience at a New Year's Eve show at the Boston Garden in the mid-90s.
They flew in it?
Yeah. It's a flying hot dog, Garflick.
What?
I can't quite picture how that worked either. Were there seats in it?
It's a flying hot dog. I don't know how more simply I can explain this to you. So that was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We knocked out the whole place in one afternoon.
Hot dog and all.
Absolutely. Wow. And just a matter of time before they let in air supply, I predict.
Maybe in your lifetime, but probably not.
We're going to induct Scritti Politti, Stacy Q.
Cool. I'm on board with that one.
Mr. I've got a long list.
And Crowded House.
And Crowded House.
Crowded House, definitely.
Thank you.
But not before Stacy Q.
Oh.
So what do we do after that?
We got together with a friend of mine who happened to be working in Cleveland for the week. And her name is also Felicity.
Another Felicity. It was me and Felicity and Felicity. Had a lovely dinner. That was nice.
Neat.
We had some, like, deep fried macaroni and cheese, which I believe is considered health food in the Midwest.
This was a local chain called Melt, which is kind of a gourmet grilled cheese restaurant.
I love Melt.
You've been there?
Yes, they had it in Minnesota too when I was earlier this year.
I had one bite. Mm-hmm. That was enough.
Ooh.
Trying to keep it together, you know?
Yeah.
We had donuts on the show last time.
I know.
You weren't here. You're out of town.
No, I missed the donuts.
Yeah, there were surprise donuts here in the studio.
Tiny, tiny donuts.
They were very small.
Shrink ray donuts.
And very good. All right, so the next day, we went to your old school.
Right.
Walked around the old school.
Walked around the old school, walked around the town. We actually saw a movie because they happened to be playing Solo.
Yeah, we were there. It's opening weekend for the big new Star Wars movie, you know, about the young Han Solo. And they're showing it at this downtown little movie theater. And I thought, well, it must be sold out by now. Everybody freaks out and gets their tickets in advance for all these Star Wars movies, right? No, we walk in. There's like a dozen people in there. And the tickets cost
$4.
Wow. It's like we're in Mayberry.
Right.
What'd you think of the movie?
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too.
Sweet.
Everybody seems to have major problems with all these new Star Wars movies. And they've done four of these now.
Right.
You know, that this latest batch of Disney-owned Star Wars, and we're going to make a Star Wars movie every 4 to 6 months from now on.
Right.
And they've done four of them now. Mm-hmm. And am I just easy to please at this stage in my life? Because I've really liked all of them.
if you are, then so am I, because I've liked all of them as well.
But I see these diehard Star Wars fans who are furious.
You are not... You're not easily pleased.
I'm one of those discerning Stacy Q fans that you hear about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Solo, is this a movie I would like?
Sure. Yeah, you would like Solo, I think.
All right.
Sure.
I count on you to let me know these things, so thank you.
And as usual, our usual recommendation for a deep dive on Solo, the new Star Wars movie, check out every other show on the, on the ESO network. They will take care of you. We're too busy giggling about chickens around here to go too deep on Star Wars. So after that, we had to go find Ratsy.
Have you ever talked about Ratsy on the Flopcast before?
Maybe once or twice in passing. Did you ever see Ratsy back in the day?
I didn't get to see her, but I used to play her on my radio
show. Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, that's true.
Margie Nears Her Forearms,
That is
right?
a Ratsy song, yes. Yeah, you were a radio DJ who did a comedy and folk music show, and Ratsy was a Boston-based folk singer in the 90s and early 2000s. Kind of very funny, quirky stuff. She wasn't a comedy act, but a lot of her songs were pretty funny, though. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the first time I saw her was on the subway. She billed herself as the subway songstress, and I remember running to her at the Harvard Square subway stop a couple of times. And then, yeah, she just became a regular on the Boston folk scene, and I dug her CDs out in case you hadn't seen them in a while. These are Ratsy CDs from back in the day. Her first album was called Squished Under a Train. Oh. And then this is the live album, Flowery Swimsuit.
Flowery Swimsuit. That takes me back.
Yeah. And she was kind of funny and quirky, but also her songs would suddenly take a turn for the heartbreaking, you know, and she played and she sings so beautifully. So Ratsy eventually moved out of Boston. She got into acting, actually. She moved to California and did some acting and did some extra work and did some game show appearances and a lot of kind of funny little TV and movie parts here and there. Then she ended up resettling to the Midwest, and specifically to Oberlin, Ohio, where we were. And she's been running her own store, like a secondhand, quirky, weird stuff kind of store in downtown Oberlin, Ohio for several years now. It's called Ratsy's Store.
That's kind of perfect.
So yeah, I sent Ratsy a note, let her know we were coming. We'd pop in and pay her a visit, which we did. And there she was. Yeah, I had not seen Ratsy in person in like 18 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so we spent some time catching up, and her store was doing great business all weekend. I even heard other people talking about it, like, oh, you got to check out Ratsy's store.
Yeah, it's a little store right downtown, but it's just packed with goofy, weird things to look at. So you can spend quite a bit of time in there really checking everything out. We got some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got chicken socks?
I got two pairs of chicken socks. Socks are one of the things that she features prominently in her store.
A lot of socks are available there, and chicken socks, you know,
yes.
Sold. And she also
has, take my money.
She's got some old comic books and magazines and stuff. So I was poking through that, old wrestling magazines. And also I found a couple of issues of our favorite magazine from back in the day, Dynamite.
Neat.
So I've added to our Dynamite collection.
Because somehow we didn't have enough already.
yeah, we have.
We will not stop until we have all the Dynamites.
We have 50-something issues of Dynamite on reserve, and we've only flipped through one of them on the show. So again, we could get through a year of doing nothing but Dynamite shows if we wanted to, and I don't think we do. But thanks to Ratsy, we have even more Dynamites now. So
the Flopcast now with more Dynamites.
So great to see Ratsy anyway. She's great. And everybody, if you get to the Cleveland area, it's a short drive to Oberlin, Ohio, and definitely drop by, say hi to Ratsy, and enjoy the weird things to be found at Ratsy's store, which is called Ratsy's Store. We went and found some video games that night.
Yes, yeah,
you
after.
You found an arcade bar.
Right.
And this was the best.
A barcade.
A barcade, yeah. If you will. Yes.
Yeah, this place, this apparently has a few locations around Cleveland, but it's called the 16-Bit Bar and Arcade.
Yeah. So we walk in and we see all the video games, you know, classic 80s video games, which we love. And I'm trying to figure out how to play.
He's like, where can I get tokens or quarters?
Yeah, like we go to Fun Spot, the giant mega super arcade of classic games up in New Hampshire, and you buy tokens.
Right.
And we've been to the Galloping Ghost, again, a massive mega arcade of classic games in Chicago. In that place, you pay a cover charge. You pay a fee to get in, and everything's set on free play. At this place, the 16-bit bar arcade, we walk in, and I'm walking around like, all right, how do I play? What do I do? Where's the token machine? And I'm baffled and I'm afraid. I'm about to run for my life. But then you figure it out.
Right. We walk up to the bar and it says, buy a drink and play all you want.
Yeah. So
awesome.
It's the best of both worlds. There's no cover and all the games are set on free play.
Wow.
So, yeah, just belly up to the bar, get a beverage, and then let loose. Run around and play everything.
They pack them in there. There was probably a couple dozen games.
Yeah, what did you play? What did you like?
I played some Dig Dug.
Yes.
And Burger Time, I think, was what I played the most of. I was decent at that.
Fun.
I like Burger Time, but I was never any good at it.
Same.
We had it on the Intellivision, so I think I got some time in on Burger Time at home.
Yeah, we did Tron, which I always enjoy some Tron. It's four games in one. And yeah, a little of everything. You know, Donkey Kong. I hit as many as I could. They did not have Swimmer. My favorite game. But that nobody has Swimmer.
Yeah.
Fun Spot, Galloping Ghost, they don't have Swimmer. Which says to me, nobody has Swimmer.
Right. They don't have Swimmer. Nobody has Swimmer.
Yeah.
Someday I want to find a working Swimmer machine again somewhere. Hasn't happened yet.
I'll keep an eye out.
The search continues.
I can play it at home, though. I've got the MAME emulator. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the trip to Ohio was ruined, is what I'm saying.
Hashtag life.
Well, maybe I can make it a little bit better for you.
Yes?
So what's in the bag?
You brought a what's in the bag from Ohio.
I did. So Kevin went home on Saturday, and I spent a couple more days in Ohio doing reunion-type stuff and going to Cedar Point, my favorite amusement park. But while I was still in Oberlin, I found another weird little store, which was called the Mad Cow Emporium.
Oh.
So I decided to check that out. It's just one guy who seems to be kind of selling a lot of his personal stuff.
Do you have a bag of mad cow disease?
Yes, exactly. No, he was first of all, he was playing the movie UHF on the TV there, so that was cool. I chatted with him a little bit, told him that I'd seen Weird Al recently. And then I was looking around and I saw in the case something that I thought Kevin might enjoy that was related to something we had done that weekend. Ooh. So,
sounds like a bag.
Open the bag. Now there's something wrapped up in tissue paper.
Yes. He wrapped it so it would not break.
Oh, you should have warned me this was delicate. I may have already broken it in my fervor.
So it's, yeah.
Is this original? Yeah,
it is.
Back in the day?
Yep.
Wow. This is a glass. This is one of those beautiful drinking glasses mm-hmm. that the fast food restaurants would offer, tied into TV and movies and comics and stuff. And this is from Burger King. There's a Burger King logo on the back. This is a C-3PO and R2-D2 Star Wars glass. There's like a paragraph on the back
mm-hmm.
describing the scene and the droids.
Yeah.
Wow. Is there a year on this thing?
Yeah, it says 1977.
77. That's the first movie.
Wow.
Yeah, my family, I remember, had Burger King glasses from Empire Strikes Back that had Yoda and Luke on them. And I think we had three or four of them originally, and then over the years, they would break, and we dwindled down to one.
I never had one of these.
Awesome. Yeah, I never had one from the original movie.
We can add this to our collection.
Absolutely.
We have a couple of vintage drinking glasses mm-hmm. like this. We have the Hamburglar.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah.
One of the classic McDonaldland characters and real Hamburglar.
Mm-hmm.
Real, creepy, ugly, scary Hamburglar. There's a cute little kid version.
Yeah,
that.
That's
they
not
ruined
right.
the Hamburglar cornflake.
Mm.
You know the original Hamburglar, right?
I choose not to think much of him, but I do know of him.
I love original, creepy Hamburglar. But that's our friend Matt.
Mm-hmm. He found that glass,
somehow
too.
Found me a Hamburglar glass from back in the day. We have that. And also, when I was a kid, I think we had three DC Comics superhero mm-hmm. glasses, and they all broke over the years, and they're all gone. But we had Wonder Woman, we had Green Arrow, and we had Aquaman.
Back when they thought it was a good idea to give kids glass for fun.
Here you go, drink up. Yeah, plus these are probably all painted with lead. And
oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Some horrifying factory in China 40 years ago, so I probably shouldn't even be touching this right now, let alone drinking out of it. But a few years back, I started thinking about my old superhero glasses, and I did not get all of them back, but I thought I should at least get an Aquaman glass again, mm-hmm. Because of how much we love Aquaman.
Yes.
So I went on eBay, because I thought, I wonder if people are selling these Aquaman glasses on eBay. And the answer is yes, they absolutely are. I couldn't believe how many Aquaman glasses were for sale on eBay, and it started frightening me. Just imagining how many Aquaman glasses are being bid on and bought and sold and packaged up and mailed and received and unpackaged. We are largely an Aquaman glass-based economy, I think, based on what I found on eBay that day. But now we can proudly add, this is beautiful. That's
amazing. I thought it was really lovely.
I'm looking at a 41-year-old Burger King drinking glass, and it looks like they made it yesterday.
Wow.
So, Cornflake, that was Ohio.
Awesome.
We went back to Ohio like Chrissy Hynde. And, before we wrap up, we have a couple of other podcasts to plug.
Oh, do it.
Do you realize you were on a podcast recently?
No.
Well, you were.
Oh.
Nice job.
Yes.
Without me. You went off and did another podcast. You didn't even tell yourself. Cornflake appears on a recent episode of The Pod of Destiny.
Oh.
It's Pod of Destiny, episode 64. This is hosted by our friends Blasted Bill and Moonbeam, of course. And man, it's been nice getting all these new episodes of Pod of Destiny all
of
a sudden.
Yeah, suddenly there's just this treasure trove.
Bill finally found some time to start editing shows he recorded 2-3 years ago. They're being released now. And this is Cornflake with Bill and Moonbeam. And you are at FumpFest 2016, I believe. Without me, just you. And it's a very short show because I think you were planning to pick up the recording later on that weekend.
And then we never did.
You never did. So it's like a 20-minute show. But it's good. So listen to Cornflake on the Pod of Destiny episode 64. And I just did a podcast this week as well.
You don't say.
This is not me from 2 years ago. This is me from 2 days ago. But you can hear me on the ESO DragonCon Con Report. It's a monthly show just to get everybody ready for DragonCon. And I've done like little pre-recorded bits for the show a couple of times, but this is my first time being on the main show. And this is the 2018 DragonCon Con Report, Episode 5.
All right, so we'll have links to those in the show notes.
It's Mike and Darren and Mary Lou and me.
Just
breaking down DragonCon for you. Because, man, we're only like 3 months out from DragonCon.
Oh, only 3 months.
It's coming fast.
And it's worth throwing another mention, speaking of the ESO Network, that we have our newest bonus content up.
Yes, ESO Network has a Patreon account. And if you support the network through Patreon, you can get exclusive podcast material that you can't get anywhere else, including, so far, 2 special bonus episodes of the Flopcast.
One featuring the mayor and one featuring Cornflake.
Yeah. Where's my feature bonus episode?
You're on ESO all the time. Come on now.
You'll have to set aside some recording time with yourself.
I'm going
to
make my own secret special.
Constantly beam you up to the mothership.
If I can somehow land an interview with me, I'm going to record the best secret bonus episode of the Flopcast ever and post it to Patreon.
You're too busy on other shows for that.
So, yeah, check out the ESO Network Patreon account. Go to ESONetwork.com. Check out the TeePublic store. Check out the Amazon link if you want to buy anything from Amazon. Lots of ways to support the network. And Cornflake, let's get out of here.
Yes, let's do that. You got to pour some beverages into that new glass of yours with C-3PO and R2-D2. So, between shows, we can't stress it enough, you can find us on the internet at flopcast.net, our very own website. We're on facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter with a handle @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, the_flopcast.
Yes. Well, thank you, Cornflake. Thank you, Mayor, for showing me Ohio.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
What is the Geekly Oddcast? It's a panel show of television.
I mean, seriously, where else was I supposed to go and watch Gomez Adams ride a rocket ship on a railroad track?
Gaming.
And the dice say 17.
Oh my god, 17 is Mystic Quest. And whatever comes to mind.
Why does Zod need a starship?
Alternating Thursdays on the Geekly Oddcast.
Hey, here's the secret after show. You've only done like one or two of these before.
I was just thinking, I think this is only my second secret after show.
Yeah, usually if you're here on the show, you make a run for it. You escape.
I see the opportunity and make a dash.
I gotta get out of here. You do not have time to stick around for the secret after show. But here you are. You're kind of trapped.
I'm kind of trapped and we didn't go on for hours this time.
Yes, this was no death show.
I actually have something for the after show.
Oh.
I related to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I started going through a big list of everybody who's been inducted into the Hall of Fame because I was wondering how many of these acts have I seen in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a list. And I think there's a couple of kind of judgment calls in here, but I think my number is 22.
Oh, that's a pretty good number.
I didn't count, like, I was working security at the Boston Folk Festival once, and Roger McGuinn was there.
Okay.
From the Birds. Mm-hmm. But I didn't actually see Roger McGuinn perform that day, so yeah. I saw him walk by backstage, right. You know, so I'm not counting that. But here's my list, in order of induction.
All right.
I would start with Bob Dylan.
Okay, I've never seen Bob Dylan.
I'm not even a big Bob Dylan fan, but Bob Dylan did, like, a co-headlining kind of show with Ani DiFranco once,
cool.
And I was an Ani DiFranco fan. The Rolling Stones,
mm-hmm.
You've seen them.
I have.
The Who, you've seen them as well.
Yes.
Sure. Elton John?
Yeah. We saw Elton John together.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh.
That's a weird one for me.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either.
I saw them on a technicality because I went to see Late Night with David Letterman. I went to New York to see the Letterman show live. Mm-hmm. And Crosby, Stills, and Nash happened to be the musical guest on the show that day.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Joel.
Sure.
We saw Billy with Elton John together.
Yes.
That's the one time I saw Elton John. It was a Billy Joel, Elton John combo show.
I've seen the combo show twice. And, of course, Billy Joel by himself several times.
Steely Dan I've seen a couple of times. The Ramones. Caught them on their very last tour. Right before they broke up. I'm so glad I caught the Ramones in time.
Yeah.
You've seen a Ramone.
I was going to say that.
You saw CJ. Although CJ was not inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, right.
When they induct a band, the Hall of Fame chooses which members of that band get inducted.
Wow.
So they judge, are you important enough to go along?
Poor CJ.
So CJ and Richie.
Marky got in, though.
Marky got in. CJ and Richie did not.
Oh, well.
Whatever, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Elvis Costello and the Attractions.
Sure.
This one's sort of a judgment call, but Traffic was inducted. Steve Winwood's old band Traffic. I never saw Traffic, but I have seen Dave Mason perform, who was a member of Traffic.
All right. We'll call that a yes.
Thank you.
Call that a yes.
The Pretenders.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Ohio. Ohio's own Pretenders?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to see them, but I would like to.
I saw them at Lilith Fair.
Yeah, it's funny. I went to the first two Lilith Fairs and you went to the third.
Yes, we divided up the Lilith Fairs.
And that was before we even met.
Lilith Division.
Yes. Blondie?
Yes, we saw Blondie.
They were cool. I went to R.E.M.
Oh, wow.
I saw an R.E.M. show. I wasn't a particularly big R.E.M. fan, but my sister was.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see R.E.M. Alice Cooper. This is another judgment call because I've never been to an Alice Cooper concert,
mm-hmm.
but we saw Alice Cooper do an interview at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I don't know. Since we didn't see him perform music, I'm not sure. I would count that.
Yeah, that's a judgment call.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a special event.
Yes, that's true.
It was cool. It was Alice Cooper and the amazing James Randi together mm-hmm. on stage because they toured together. Randi was a part of the Alice Cooper crew.
Yeah, he did some stage magic for
way back in the 70s. So yeah, they're actually they did a reunion interview together at Dragon Con. We saw Heart.
Yes.
I love Heart, of course. Peter Gabriel.
I have not seen him.
Two-time inductee Peter Gabriel.
Yes.
Because he was inducted with Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then again as a solo act, Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
I saw them in a elevator and in a hallway once.
Yes, yes. You had a Hall & Oates sighting at, that was Funk Fest, right?
Yeah, that was 2015 Funk Fest.
Yeah, we were there together in the lobby and we freaked out because suddenly Hall & Oates are walking across the lobby.
Yes.
Joan Jett.
Yeah. I saw at LAX at the
yes.
area.
Yes, we've seen Joan Jett in concert and you've seen Joan Jett waiting for her luggage at the airport.
Correct.
Very exciting. I still consider that maybe the coolest airport celebrity sighting of all time.
Yeah, I think so.
That was a good one. Cheap Trick.
Yes.
Of course. Journey.
Mm-hmm.
That was the time I saw Dave Mason of Traffic. He was opening for Journey.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, up in New Hampshire. Here's one from just a few weeks ago. I saw Bon Jovi.
Yes. New inductees.
That was like the week before the Hall of Fame induction, in fact.
They even mentioned it.
John mentioned that night. Yeah, he said that we're on tour, but we're making a stop next week in Cleveland. And finally, of course, we have our favorites, the Cars.
Yes.
So that's my Hall of Fame list anyway.
And that's a pretty good list.
That's a good list.
Solid.
You have some people who are not on this list, I know, because you've seen Clapton, right?
Yes, I've seen Eric Clapton.
Three-time inductee Eric Clapton.
Yeah, I only saw him once.
That's the only guy that's been inducted three times.
Because
mm-hmm. you got Clapton, solo, you got the Yardbirds, you got Cream.
He wasn't in the Yardbirds for that long, so I'm wondering why he was considered important enough to that band.
Because he's Eric Clapton.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Because Jimmy Page can make that claim as well from the Yardbirds. Jimmy Page, two-time inductee.
Yes.
Because of Led Zeppelin and because of the Yardbirds. And then Jeff Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Beck inducted solo and inducted with the Yardbirds.
But wow, everyone was in the Yardbirds.
Everybody was in the Yardbirds, but Clapton's the only guy inducted three times.
Everyone was in the Yardbirds except for the Monkees.
Well, the Yardbirds are a very important band because, you know, a Yardbird, that's a chicken.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So you can see Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, between Louis Jordan's sheet music for Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens and the Yardbirds, place is all about chickens.
Yes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.